In the gospel reading today, as our Lord asks his disciples who people say that he is, we're told some say John the Baptist, others Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. When we look at that, we know that there were some people who were saying that he was John the Baptist, and Herod said, no, I beheaded John the Baptist, I don't know who this guy is. So Herod didn't assume that that was the case, but that was the word that was going around. Others would say it's Elijah, because Elijah is supposed to come before the Messiah. Of course, they totally miss the point that this is the Messiah that they're talking about, but nonetheless, they're looking at that saying, okay, well, obviously this guy is not just an average person here. There's extraordinary powers at work within him, and so maybe this is the return of Elijah. The fact that they were saying that this is John the Baptist tells you that they also missed the fact that John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So he was Elijah sent before the Lord as promised in Malachi. So when the end of the world comes, Elijah will come back himself. Elijah has not died yet. And so the poor guy, he has to come back and he has to be killed. And so that's going to happen along with Enoch, because he's the other one who hasn't died. So they've been waiting all of this time, and we'll have to continue to wait until the end comes. But in the meantime, again, the fact that as Jesus is asking these questions tells you that they don't understand who he is or who John the Baptist was. Then we are told, some say Jeremiah. Now, this is the only gospel that Jeremiah's name is mentioned. The others, yeah, they get John the Baptist and they get Elijah, but they didn't put Jeremiah's name in there. But this is an interesting point, because Jeremiah is known for his suffering. You read the book of the prophet Jeremiah, my goodness, the things that they put that poor man through before they finally killed him. And then you look at it and say, okay, what's Jesus going to do? He's going to suffer. They're going to put him through horrible things, and eventually they will kill him. So the fact of the inclusion of the name of Jeremiah in there is something very important. Again, it's not obviously Jeremiah coming back, and nowhere did Jeremiah say he was going to come back, nor did anybody else say that Jeremiah was going to come back. Because I guess if you look at it, Elijah didn't say he was coming back, but St. Malachi is the one who tells us that Elijah is going to return to be able to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children before the day of the Lord. And so that's something that was foretold. Why they think that this is Jeremiah is another question, because nowhere was Jeremiah foretold that he's going to be coming back. But it does put that point of who Jesus is into a context for us, because they recognize that this is a suffering servant of the Lord, as foretold in the prophet Isaiah, but nonetheless seen in a very profound way in the life of the prophet Jeremiah. And so this is who the people are thinking. This is what is going on. But then comes the great question, but who do you say that I am? And when Peter says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, could he have had any idea what he was actually saying? Jesus says to him that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. Because there is no way that anybody on the natural level would have been able to understand who this is. The Jewish people, remember, believe that there is only one God. They did not, and they do not, believe in the Most Holy Trinity. So to be able to say that he is the Son of the Most High, that he is the Son of God, this is something that would be foreign to the Jewish people. In fact, when Jesus talked about this, they wanted to stone him to death because he made himself equal with God. He is God. And so, of course, he's equal with God. It's easy for us to say. Put yourself into the context of a first century Jew, and you look at it and say, that's not so easy, because this is totally contrary to what it is that they had believed, even though there are some pretty clear references in the Old Testament to the fact that God is more than one person, and that God said explicitly he's going to send his Son into the world. But again, maybe they misunderstood that, because they would look at people who are holy, or they would look at different situations and say, well, you're a son or a daughter of God. But that's different from being the Son of God. And so for Peter to say that is truly extraordinary, and obviously something revealed by God to Peter, and Jesus makes that clear, but there is no way on the natural level that he could have understood that by what he was observing, that there is no way that he would be able to have any kind of concept of this. You could say, well, but what about the miracles that Jesus worked? Well, go back and you say, well, Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets worked lots of miracles. They healed people. Elisha raised people from the dead. There were miracles that were worked. But they always gave the credit to God. They didn't say that they did it. God did it. When it was Jesus doing it, he is God. It is God doing it, but he is God. So he talks about his Heavenly Father and so on, but recognizes that the power is coming through him. But again, put it into the context of a first century Jewish person. They've got the references to the prophets because he's doing extraordinary things, because his teaching is not like the scribes and the Pharisees. So they're looking at saying, yes, we know this man is from God, but that's different from saying this man is God. That's what is extraordinary about what St. Peter is saying. Totally, completely different from John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They were sent by God. They are not God. And not one of them suggested that they were. And in fact, as we just heard a few minutes ago in the last gospel, when John the Baptist was asked about it, he made very clear, and so St. John just brought it down and said, I am not the light. Jesus is the light. John the Baptist was not. Who you think I am not. Now, that didn't just simply mean I'm not the Messiah, but it means I'm not the Son of God. And so, for our Lord to be able to be recognized for who he is, that's the part that, again, for most of us, maybe it doesn't seem that big a deal, because this has been taught to us for 2,000 years, and we've been able to accept that and say, yeah, of course, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. This is pretty astounding. And for St. Peter to be able to acknowledge that, to state it clearly, how did he even understand it? And then you take it to the next step and you say, even within the church, the Christology, who is Jesus Christ? That wasn't worked out for another 400 years. And the whole part about the Trinity wasn't worked out for another 400 years. So again, this isn't something they're starting with the concept and saying, okay, well, look, God is three persons. This is the Son of God. No, they weren't starting with that. They weren't even starting with the idea that Jesus is God who took a human nature to himself. We see it on the first page of St. John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So think for a second about how astounding this was. It took 400 years for the church to understand that statement. The church always believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But to be able to define it, what exactly does that mean and how do we understand this? If that took 400 years to be able to define, now think how extraordinary the revelation was that these men were able to say, "You are the Son of God. The Word became flesh." All these things that we have right there, and we understand them because the teaching of the church has been there for all these years. But it wasn't there. They're the ones who laid the foundation for it. The insight that was given to them by God, and for them to accept it, to believe it, and to proclaim it, tremendous. Now put it into yourself. Do we just take that for granted? Do we just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, yeah, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, he became flesh, yeah, he was born of the Virgin Mary, yeah, he took our human nature to himself, so he's one person but two natures, and on and on. Think about it for a bit. This is extraordinary. It's miraculous. It's infinite. It is beyond our capacity, and it always will be, even in heaven. As we are literally looking right at the mystery, we will never understand it fully. So for you to be able to say, I believe in the Holy Trinity, for you to be able to say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the second person of the Trinity, that is an absolutely massive statement that we just let it roll off our tongue because it's what we've been taught. Let it into the heart and begin to recognize this is something huge. The fact that God has given to you and to me the grace to be able to acknowledge that mystery that we will never fully understand, and yet we say we believe. That's what Satan, the most intelligent being that God created, couldn't handle. He couldn't accept, and a third of the angels with him. And you can. Think about that for a minute. How is it that you have that grace? Just exactly what Jesus said to Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. A grace has been given to you to be able to say yes to this. What a beautiful gift. And what we need to recognize is how profound that gift really is. Because this is not anything that anybody on the natural level is going to be able just to come up with, be able to present. It's something that must be received in faith. And that requires a particular grace. So thank God for that grace. Thank him for that revelation. And begin to really let it sink in. We need to be in awe, in the true sense of that word, of what it is that's happening right within us, just as we can be with St. Peter or with St. John and their insights. The fact that maybe we don't have the insight that's been taught to us, but nonetheless, the fact that we can accept is massive. Thank God for that gift, because that is the very gift that allows you then to live that faith. That is the gift that is going to bring you into eternal life, where you'll be united with that mystery for the rest of eternity.